So the question was asked, how does one apply this within one's life? When one is dealing with the difficulties and the challenges and the disappointments and the hardships that one has to contend with. And I think that there are two angles of application to what we learned from Rav Kook just now. One is direction, meaning sometimes that's pivotal. Sometimes a person can be so down on themselves that they need to be reminded that in their essence, in their core, there's something beautiful, and that they need to work on getting back to connect to that. And that's one important point, just that. But there's another point. What Rav Kook just taught us is about transcending the challenges one is facing. Meaning, at every stage in life, there are going to be difficulties. Sometimes there are going to be harder difficulties, sometimes there are going to be gentler difficulties, but there are always difficulties. And the difficulty could be I'm sitting in traffic, and I can't wait to get to the steak that's waiting for me, and the pool that I'm going to go swimming in, and all the wonderful things that are waiting for me, but right now I'm stuck in traffic. So right now the only thing that exists is that annoying red light that won't change. And you look at a guy and you say, what are you getting so annoyed about? In 10 minutes you're going to be having a barbecue, being with your family, swimming in a pool. So you're waiting at the light for a few minutes. So what? But you know what? Much of life is like that. Much of life is just because I'm waiting at the light. Because around the bend, life is going to look different. So when we look at the guy waiting at the light, we say, you're getting so annoyed, but in 10 minutes, things are going to be so nice. What are you getting so annoyed about? And the truth is that in our own lives, so for us, it's a different traffic light. For us, it's the traffic light of the child that won't let you sleep at night for a period. Or it's the bills that won't let you sleep at night. Or it's the other challenges, but they're also a traffic light. At some point, I'm going to cross this. I'm going to be in a different place, right? Life is dynamic. But how do I maintain that perspective? That's if I can be above what's going on here. And being above is challenging. Being above means I can connect, and that's the great potency of what Rav Kook just taught us. Can I connect to who I am? If I can connect, so then all the challenges take on a different perspective. I look at all of life from a different perspective. The Talmud tells us about sages who were able to have amputations. They had a leg cut off, and they were talking Torah as the doctor was amputating their leg. How do you do that? We hear about Rabbi Akiva. He is being skinned alive, and he's saying, Shema Yisrael, how? Can I transcend? So we're not Rabbi Akiva. But nonetheless, we can. And the more we connect to the Torah and the mitzvah with Taran Ktusha, Rav Kook said, it's not only about performance. It's about pureness and holiness. Purity and holiness. The more pure and holy a person is, the more his neshama radiates, the more he can connect to that, and then he can be above the challenges he's facing. The more I lose my identity, the more I'm lost, the more I can be moved by the waves and challenges of life. Life has challenges and waves. Even the Garden of Eden had a serpent. We don't have this concept of perfection where there won't be challenges. In the Garden of Eden, Adam has to deal with a serpent. And he has to deal with a wife that followed the serpent. The question is, where am I? Can I be swayed by what's going on around me? The more my identity is contingent on the external, the less I have an identity. When Adam is willing to listen to the serpent, it's because he doesn't have his identity. But if we can develop that identity, then the challenges of life are viewed differently. I'll give you an example. You're standing in line for the bus in the Tachana Merkazit. There are 10 people before you, and you're holding your child's hand, and suddenly your child starts doing disgusting things. They make disgusting noises, they do disgusting things, and they start misbehaving. You can't deal right now. Because if you're going to deal, you're going to lose your place in line. You're going to be stuck in Jerusalem without food for Shabbos. This is the last bus. You got to board that bus. You can't deal with the child. You cannot change their behavior right now. So you're standing in line and you're barely holding on to the child, advancing in line, trying to make that bus. As the child is doing these embarrassing actions, how embarrassed are you? How much can you look at that child and say, it's a child, she's a child, it'll pass, it's not the end of the world? And how much do you say, oh no, what's everyone thinking? They think I'm such a bad parent, my child is misbehaving, especially when the woman behind you in line has a few juicy comments for you and the guy in front of you goes, you know, these tisks, all the wonderful pieces of encouragement people can give you at a bus stop. But you don't really have to. Because if you have a positive self-identity, you can smile and move on. You don't have to. The more we are connected, the less we are threatened, the less we need to defend ourselves. The more we can be focused on doing what's right. This idea of a positive and true connection with our identity of who we are will affect everything we do. It will affect how we react to the child. How am I embarrassed? Do I have to answer the person who tells me, why don't you learn how to parent your kids? You know how many times I got that line? You should learn how to parent your kids. You should teach them what Derech Eretz is. Okay? So a person who's seen my kids for a total of 2 minutes in a specific scenario, not knowing what happened before, not knowing what's happening afterwards, knows to tell me whether I know how to educate my kids. Maybe, and maybe not. I don't answer. I don't bother answering. I smile. I don't know. Why do I have to answer? You know, someone asked me yesterday, he said he was listening to a class in the Mahon, and he noticed people said things during the class, and I didn't respond. So he asked me, he said, the verse says in Proverbs, "Al tan ksil ki valto," don't answer the fool according to his foolishness. Was that why I didn't answer the person? So I said to him, no, I don't think people here are fools. But sometimes in class, people make statements. They don't ask questions. So if they made a statement, there's nothing to answer. He didn't ask a question. If a person made a statement, he didn't ask me, he said something. I listened, I respectfully heard. I might disagree, but why do I have to say that? They didn't ask me, they made a statement. It's not because I think the person's a fool. They might be in error, but that doesn't mean I have to argue.
Saying you're at the bottom line, Rabbi.
I'm saying this idea that Rav Kook is giving us is so powerful because it's relevant to everything we do. Rav Kook gave us examples of the sun and the moon. He gives examples of the Jewish people. He gives examples of Adam. He's showing us how the idea, can you know who you are? When Adam is asked, Ayeka, where are you? Hashem is answering him. He's telling him, you don't know where you are. And if you don't know where you are, if you don't have your identity, that's when you can really get lost.